Warning, this content may be disturbing to some viewers. We are talking distortions in the economy today with my guest. He is the New York Times bestselling author, Doug Casey. Doug, always good to see you. Welcome back to StansberryInvestor.com.
Yes, I'm speaking to you from the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. Sorry to see that you're locked down in Canada.
I'm sorry for myself as well, and wish I was there with you in person, Doug, but excited to get you on today because you have some pretty disturbing messages about the economy, and that's why I say warning, it may be very sensitive to some of our viewers out there, but important for folks to know. Let me start with a quote of yours here, Doug, where you say, you get what you pay for, and if you pay people to stay at home, they'll do that. People are consuming more than ever. Retail sales are way up because of all the funny money the government is helicopter dumping, while a lot less people are producing. This, you say, is a guaranteed formula for economic disaster. And it's not just an economic failure, but a moral failure. And this is exactly what we're seeing, Doug. I have a lot of friends who own restaurants and cannot get staff for them. Where are the days where people wanted jobs?
Well, look, what the government is fomenting is what I believe what they're fomenting is what Mises called a crack-up boom. And this is where people are buying and consuming and everything looks great because they're basically living out of capital. And it's possible for them to live out of capital because they think they're richer than they really are. You send everybody a $10,000 check, they'll go out and buy all kinds of things, okay? But that's got nothing to do with the production of new things because people aren't working. The people that should be working are also sitting on their couches consuming. So the way I expect this to end eventually is with a collapse of the stock market, vastly higher retail prices. Look, we're in the early stages of the Greater Depression, okay? We're coming out of the gigantic financial hurricane and going into its trailing edge. So I'm pretty gloomy from that point of view. Sorry to say that that's the way I think things are gonna pan out, but it's going to be ugly. That's entirely apart from the fact that we have Bolsheviks, actual Bolsheviks, or if you wish, Jacobins, to use the term from the French Revolution, or Red Guards from the Great Cultural Revolution. We have that personality type in Washington, D.C. And you can count on them doing not only the wrong thing, but the exact opposite of the right thing in the months and years to come. So, yeah, I'm pretty gloomy.
Well, as you say, there could be a silver lining for those all those folks out there getting those stimmy checks and who've recognized the need for labor and have, you know, has created a larger group of people doing side jobs or whatnot for, as we say here in Montreal, cash under the table or cash in a bag.
That's absolutely what's happening. And I applaud the growth of the untaxed, unregulated underground economy. So yes, there is a silver lining from that point of view. Another silver lining, double-edged sword silver lining, if I can mix the metaphors, is that commodities have been exploding in price. Wheat, corn, soybeans, the basic grains that everybody, including cows, eat, have about doubled in the last 6 months. Now this has been very good for commodity speculators who have been long, but it's gonna be very bad for the average consumer that buys breakfast cereal. Even worse, it's gonna be much worse for the average Egyptian or third worlder that basically lives on these grains. You'll remember that the Arab Spring, the revolutions that overtook the Arab world took place, were set off by similar soybean and wheat and corn prices 10 years ago. It's happening, it's gonna happen again.
Let me ask you this though, Doug, an even bigger picture for you, which you bring up, this untaxed economy, which always existed, but perhaps now it's even, you know, three times the size it was, has created more of an incentive for central banks, including the Federal Reserve, to rush to find a digital currency. Because with a digital currency, of course, there'll be a major crackdown of the untaxed economy.
Well, they've announced that they're actually going to do a digital currency. And several countries around the world, China, Sweden in particular, have gone almost entirely to a digital currency. Now, digital currency, that's very convenient, but it's going to be a disaster from the point of view of your personal privacy, because if everything goes through your smartphone, they're going to know exactly what you're buying, what you're selling, what you own. They'll be able to lock down your digital currency account the way they can lock down your credit cards now if they wish to. So this is actually, from a personal freedom point of view, horrible. And it's going to make it much easier for them to inflate the currency just by pushing a button on the computer and adding or subtracting whatever. No, this is horrible.
And to that point, Doug, if you are looking at investing in, you know, gold, silver, or Bitcoin, does it create more of an incentive to do so now before the advent of a digital currency?
Well, I think it's going to work out very well for Bitcoin because the supply of Bitcoin is fixed. It's limited. So people are going to prefer, if they want to go digital, they're going to prefer to use Bitcoin or perhaps Monero or perhaps pirate coin, something like that, to get out from under the government's control while using digital currency. But the last thing you want to do is use the Federal Reserve's FedCoin or whatever they call it when it comes out. I mean, that's the worst thing you can do. Personally, I remain very, very bullish on both gold and silver and continue to buy gold and silver coins. I think they're both going much higher. And at some point, maybe 10 years from now, gold is going to be reinstituted as day-to-day money. But that's after the almost total collapse of the current system.
Doug, you really think that we're going to be using gold like we used to in the Roman Empire days, transacting with gold coins?
Well, you don't have to go that far back in history. You can just go back to 1933, before Roosevelt confiscated gold from American citizens. Everybody had $20 double eagles in their pocket that they'd used to buy things. So yeah, I think we'll go back to that again. Sure.
Do you think we'd go back to some sort of a gold standard?
Well, look, I don't believe in the gold standard because that implies, actually, look, I hate to say something that's rather outrageous, but governments shouldn't be in the money business any more than governments should be in any other business, including schools or roads, things that people think the governments should do. All the government should do is protect you from force, which implies police for within their bailiwick, an army to protect you from force outside the bailiwick, and a court system to allow you to adjudicate disputes without resorting to force. But the government shouldn't be involved in any of these other things, certainly not the schools, certainly not the money. So I think what we're looking at with this great reset, as they call it, is everything is going to change, but not quite the way that Klaus Schwab and the Davos people think it's going to. I think it's going to get completely out of control. And that's not even counting the possibility of World War III, which incidentally won't look anything like World War II. So I'm looking for some big changes, quite frankly.
Well, some would argue we'd just come out of a war with the pandemic, Doug, if you want to talk about.
Oh, yes, the pandemic. Talk about a phony war. You know, it amazes me that what seems, you know, this is something that everybody is anxious to be vaccinated and and they all wear their masks and stay away from other people. I mean, this is the greatest hysteria in the history of the world, quite frankly. It's a particularly nasty flu, like the Hong Kong flu of years ago, or the Asian flu, or the swine flu, or the bird flu. But this flu, they've all gone wild about, and it's changed the entire character of the world. But people in control that like to boss other people around actually like it, because it shows how subservient and servile the average person is. He'll do what he's told. He'll believe what the media feeds him. They're having 500,000 people are said to have died in the US because of it. Well, maybe 500,000 people died with COVID in their veins, but the average age of death is 80 years, okay? That's when people die anyway. So just because you die with the bacteria in your body doesn't mean the bacteria killed you. The whole thing is dishonest to start with, from start to finish.
Doug, getting back to Bitcoin, I want to get your thoughts on El Salvador becoming the first country to recognize Bitcoin as legal tender. There's now talk that Panama, Paraguay may follow suit. What are your thoughts on it, and is this going to become a global trend?
Well, Bitcoin is not very practical for use as a day-to-day currency. Transaction times are too long. The costs are too high for small amounts of money. The main value of Bitcoin is to store capital in a secure place that has nothing to do with the banking system. I mean, so it's good for large amounts of money. And I'd point out that there are a few countries in the world that don't have their own currency. Liberia is one. Is El Salvador one? Well, nobody uses the El Salvadorian. Do they have a peso, or who even knows what their national currency is? So sure, it's quite reasonable that they use Bitcoin. It's more reliable than the US dollar. I mean, if you become unfriendly with the US government, they'll cut you out of the international banking system, which is based on the transfer of dollars. So it makes a lot of sense for a country to use Bitcoin as opposed to the dollar. It gets them out from under the thumb. Absolutely, there'll be others.
Another topic that has people divided, Doug, inflation. And Deutsche Bank came out earlier this week with a report saying this could be the extremely dangerous threat to the global economy. And the Fed is ignoring the fact that inflation is real. It's a real threat. They want to say it's transitory. What are your thoughts on it? Are we in an inflationary environment, and how dangerous of a threat is it for you?
Look, the US government is running truly gigantic deficits. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that it was considered scandalous when the US government ran a $50 or $100 billion deficit. Now it's at the trillion or $2 trillion or $3 trillion level. These are really big numbers. These are numbers that are hundreds of times bigger than past deficits. What happens when the US government runs a multi-trillion dollar deficit, as Biden is proposing? What happens is they don't have the tax revenues to pay for that. It's greater than their tax revenues. What they do is they sell their paper to the central bank, the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve credits the US government's accounts at commercial banks, and then the US government can spend it. What we're looking at here is the beginnings of a runaway inflation. The more they print, the more they have to print. And they almost have to print things because there's so much debt in the world, everywhere, including on the part of the US government, that if it's not paid off, if that debt is defaulted on, it becomes a deflation, a catastrophic deflation, where if a billion-dollar bond is defaulted on, what happened to the $1 billion? Well, if it was gold, it'd still be someplace. But if it's just funny money, it dies and goes to money heaven and disappears, okay? so no, they're going to keep printing money to keep the game going. This is one reason I'm very gloomy, because we saw a catastrophic deflation in the 1930s. And that's the one thing they don't want to have happen again. So they're going to keep printing money. Prices are going to go to the roof. I hope prices of securities, stocks and bonds keep going up. That's good for rich people. But at some point they're going to crash. It's going to be chaos. That's the only thing I can really guarantee you. Will it be an inflationary depression or a deflationary depression or both in different parts of the economy? Or will we have both in sequence, one and then the other? The only thing I can assure you of is we're looking at financial chaos.
So let's end with this note, Doug, and I know we've spoken about it in past interviews, but if there's a new viewer here, I want them to hear this from you. So if we are headed for absolute chaos, how does one protect themselves? I know you like gold, silver, Bitcoin. You mentioned other commodities. What are you doing to protect yourself?
The most important thing you can do, and I realize this is impractical for most people listening, is to diversify politically, okay? The main risk in the world today is political. Financial risk is huge, economic risk, huge. But the political risk is much greater. How do you beat that risk? You diversify politically. You get a, you take a second country or a third, preferably even three countries, that seem like they're more stable than your home country, and you put significant assets there, okay? So it's not all under the group control of one group of crazy politicians. And frankly, in Washington, they're as crazy as the people in Buenos Aires are at this point. So political diversification. And if you can't diversify internationally, at least move out of a place like New York or California or Massachusetts into some place that's more sociologically and financially stable. Wyoming, Tennessee, places like that.
So if for an American watching, Doug, you know, can you name me two countries outside of the US that you like in terms of political diversification?
Well, I'm pretty familiar with actually all the countries in the Western Hemisphere. I've been to all of them. Yes, I have, absolutely all of them. And I have a significant footprint in Uruguay, which is the most stable country in South America. And my second choice after that would be Panama, which is the most advanced, the most stable country in Central America. So those are two good choices.
Thank you for that. And thank you for your time today, Doug. I'll let you get back to enjoying your beautiful home.
Well, on the thanks. And don't step outside, Daniela. The deadly COVID virus might bring you down if you do.
I've completed, week one of my quarantine. One more week to go. So, you know what? I'll make the best of it and keep doing these great interviews. So thank you.
The government of Canada is even more clinically insane than that in Washington, D.C. I'm shocked.
No comment from me on that. But Doug, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, you too.
And thank you so much for watching. We'll have much more for you. So be sure to stay tuned to StansberryInvestor.com. In the meantime, remember to share us where you watch us. That's it for me. I'm Daniela Kumbonen.
I think we're gone. I mean, the economy is destroyed. We've destroyed one of the greatest economies in world history. That's what Records and I write about, is that we're not just messing with money, we're messing with world history right now. And if, you know, he talks about there is something that happens every 1500 years, I forget now, and we're on it. We're on it right now, we're on it. And so this could be the biggest collapse, be a collapse of the Roman Empire, collapse of the Chinese Empire, the English Empire. So we're messing with history now, but we're messing it through this stuff and this stuff here. So throughout history, the Roman Empire came down when they started, you know, putting copper into their coins. That's called Gresham's Law. You know, bad money went into hiding when, I mean, good money went into hiding when bad money entered the system. So, Danielle, this is unprecedented how much fake money they're pushing into the system. It's unprecedented. So I wouldn't be worried about the price of gold or silver or Bitcoin. The question is, how many bullets do you have? You have a safe house.
I'm not saying it would work.
No, I'm just, I'm a Marine. I went to military school. I think in the negative so I can plan for the positive. So I already have my escape place.
Yeah.
I have a jet, a private jet, because I don't want to go to the airport.
Right.
I'm going to take my jet exactly. You know, Rickard says you have to have a bicycle. I said, I don't look good on a bicycle.
I know who to call when crisis hits.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand there, you know, get my COVID test before I climb on the plane as people are trying to escape the Titanic.
I have a vest.
So plan for the worst. Buy gold, silver, Bitcoin, you know.
Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies have had a roller coaster of a ride the past few weeks. But my guest today says this is a perfect opportunity for all those whiners who've said they missed an opportunity in the past. He is the best-selling author of numerous books, including the internationally acclaimed Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He is a mentor to many, including myself, and it's always an honor to have him on StansberryInvestor.com. Please welcome back Robert Kiyosaki. Robert, good to see you.
I love being on your program, Daniela. Thank you. Thank you. You're always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's an honor, Robert, and we have a lot of ground to cover today. Is there a sense of urgency now to get your gold, silver, and Bitcoin now? Because if in the future we have a digital currency, then they would be able to track the gold, silver, and Bitcoin you're buying.
You're getting it. What is untraceable that's valuable? That's the question. So lately, I've not been winning any fans with the liberals, but I would say four things I have been buying all the years I've been talking to you: gold, silver, Bitcoin, and bullets. I have made more money on bullets now because I am a Marine. You know, I fought in Vietnam twice. I carry full automatic weapons. I don't carry an assault weapon. I carry a machine gun. And legally, they're called class threes. So all these years I've been buying machine guns. And the trouble with the machine guns, they eat a lot of bullets. You know what I mean? I mean, a Glock 19 or whatever, what do those guys carry, the gangbangers carry? You might fire 8 bullets in a minute. My machine guns, I've stepped them up from 850 rounds a minute to 1100 rounds a minute. So I was going through ammo at high rates of speed. So I would go to the gun shows, this was 20 years ago, and I'd buy pallets of ammunition. Today, I look like a genius. You can't buy bullets either. And now they want to register them. Now they want to put some kind of doge, or some mark on every bullet so they know who killed who.
Where's the demand coming from? People are just hoarding bullets the way they'd hoard silver, gold? Yes.
I am the arms dealer for my neighborhood, but
in your jacket. Look what I have on the left. Look what I have on the right.
No, I have certain friends who can shoot. And if it's a gun for him, I said, how many times have you shot something? He goes, well, never. So I'm not going to give you a bullet because you might shoot me. So I'm the arms. The other night I went to our favorite restaurant. I walk in, I'm carrying this little Lululemon bag filled with 9mm bullets. I went to see my dentist. I said, what do you shoot? She says, 45. So I carried it with him, a bag of 45 ammunition.
There was no yoga mat in there.
So Danielle, the thing is what has value that's not traceable? That's the question. That is really the question today. So that's, if it goes to Fed coin or Euro coin or El Salvador coin, what will have valuable no matter what and is untraceable by technology?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear, Robert. You know, just circling back, you know, I moderated probably the most famous now debate ever in history regarding Bitcoin versus gold. And I want to get your thoughts on it because, you know, there's always this comparison. What's better? What's the alpha investment here? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? I believe in past interviews, you said at the end of the day, though, even though you're exposed to Bitcoin, is it true you still prefer the metals?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I pay attention to Bitcoin. And the thing I say, I was on Maria Bartiromo the other day. I said, buy something. And when you buy something, your intelligence goes up. But right now you're sitting on the sidelines. Was it Dogecoin? Is this? And you don't know anything. So just buy something. And then your intelligence increases.
Exactly.
That's about all I can say to people. Buy something, start, figure it out. But I would prefer gold because this is God's money. Silver is God's money, and this is getting scarcer and scarcer and scarcer because it's used in technology. And this stuff doesn't get scarcer, but it's going into hoarding now. So that's why I say it's booms, busts, or mania. We're hitting mania right now, Daniel, mania. And our school teachers are still telling kids, oh, this is someday the government will pay $10 million. That's how stupid school teachers are. My whole family are school teachers. They all save this garbage. They save this garbage. And I keep telling them, why don't you buy one of these? Oh, no, I want one of these.
Right.
The problem isn't gold, silver, Bitcoin. The problem is stupid school teachers telling kids to save this garbage.
Right. But that's a good point. Getting back to your what you were saying about debt and how you have no
love debt.
Credit. But I think, you know, with people watching, Robert, you're not saying go out and buy your designer bags and Rolex. You're actually buying real assets with the debt, correct?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I understand. Yes, I borrow to buy real estate, and the real estate drives income. Now the problem is a two-edged sword. It drives income, then I have a tax problem. So I have to borrow more to offset the tax. So the whole capitalist, it's called an infinite return. And that's the book I was writing until this whole COVID thing blew up. So you don't need money to make money. Once you understand that, how do you think a guy becomes a billionaire? Getting a job?
Nope.
It's up here. I love capitalism, but we teach socialism and Marxism in school. The story of Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a story of a Marxist versus a capitalist. That's the story. So my poor dad always said, you know, he says he wanted me to join a labor union because he was the head of a teachers union. And it was Marx who said, workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. It was Stalin who said, if you want to destroy capitalism, raise taxes. And it was Lenin who says, if you want to destroy capitalism, debauch the currency, exact words. And that's what happened in 1971 when Nixon made this toilet paper. And our schools are still telling our kids, oh, save toilet paper, work for toilet paper, and pay toilet paper taxes. And that's why it goes back to this book here, The Creature from Jekyll Island. In 1913, the Fed was created. It's not federal, it's not reserve, there's no reserve, it's not a bank. But it also created the Internal Revenue Service so they could collect the taxes. And so Biden today is raising taxes and they're printing money. And the stupid school teachers are still telling you, oh, this is toilet paper. You should work hard for it. That's not financial education. So all I say is, I tell kids, I said, well, why don't you just buy this? This is $30, silver coin, if you can find it.
If you can find it these days, exactly. Better.
It's safer than Bitcoin. They go, no, it's not. And they want to argue with me. I said, well, why don't? So you know, they sound like Peter Schiff.
It's safer than Bitcoin, you say, because you know, what we've seen this week with Bitcoin is that the security issues are coming up now, right? Can your Bitcoin be taken away? Can people access?
Yes, it can. Man, last night I was having dinner with a friend of mine. She lost everything. I didn't understand how she stored it, but she's upset. She had 700,000 in it. Well, it wasn't her. It was fake money anyway. But she said, now I'm broke. Somebody took her wallet or something, and she can't find it. So she went to the Phoenix Police Department. They said, what? You want us to look for a piece of electronic money? Danielle, absolute truth. That was last night. I'm talking to her. She's crying her eyes out. She said, now what do I do? I said, I don't know. You should have bought some silver.
I'm sure she must have loved that advice.
No, they don't.
Robert, you know, you mentioned the Fed, Janet Yellen. So, I gotta bring this topic up before we wrap here. Inflation. Now, Janet Yellen earlier this week came out saying, hey, you know, despite the trillions of dollars entering the system now, we shouldn't expect to see runaway inflation. She also hinted that perhaps we will be headed towards a higher interest rate environment. Thoughts on the possibility of runaway inflation? And I just want to add to that, Deutsche Bank issuing a warning this morning that that is where the global economy is headed, particularly the U.S. one.
Well, again, the real problem is the Fed, the Treasury, Biden, and Wall Street. Because, you know, they all work together. The question is, and step back and look at it, if we don't have inflation, we have depression. So they're terrified right now. They have got to do everything possible to pump as much money in to keep this fake balloon floating. That's why it's booms, busts, or mania. So this trying to keep this hot air balloon in the sky. If there is deflation, this thing comes down. So they're pumping as much hot air into this balloon as possible. So is there going to be inflation? Well, think about it this way. If there isn't, it's what Rickards has been calling for, the biggest depression in history. But it depends on which economist you talk to. So, and the guy I like the most is Lacey Hunt. He said Lacey Hunt, he was at the Dallas Fed, I think. He says inflation is transitory. So they pump money in and it escapes. They pump money in and it escapes. I think Lacey Hunt is more accurate than that con woman, Janet Yellen, you know. I can't believe how stupid she is. Or this guy Powell. So they're going to keep pumping money in. So they have to keep pumping more money in. And the tear gets bigger in the balloon. So I flew for the U.S. Marine Corps. I went down 3 times. Prepare to crash. That's why I'm buying this stuff.
Robert, just final thought here on price. I know in past interviews you had said you wouldn't be surprised if Bitcoin could possibly hit 1 million within 5 years. Are you sticking to that forecast? And B, if Bitcoin were to hit 1 million in 5 years, where does that put gold and silver?
I hate to mention it. It's almost, I think we're gone. I mean, the economy is destroyed. We've destroyed one of the greatest economies in world history. That's what Rickards and I write about, is that we're not just messing with money. We're messing with world history right now. And if, you know, he talks about there is something that happens every 1,500 years, I forget now. And we're on it. We're on it right now. We're on it. And so this could be the biggest collapse. Be a collapse of the Roman Empire, collapse of the Chinese Empire, the English Empire. So we're messing with history now, but we're messing it through this stuff and this stuff here. So throughout history, the Roman Empire came down when they started, you know, putting copper into their coins. That's called Gresham's Law. You know, bad money went into hiding good money went into hiding when bad money entered the system. So, Danielle, this is unprecedented how much fake money they're pushing into the system. It's unprecedented. So I wouldn't be worried about the price of gold and silver or Bitcoin. The question is, how many bullets do you have? You have a safe house.
I'm not saying it would work.
No, I'm just, I'm a Marine. I went to military school. I think in the negative, so I can plan for the positive. So I already have my escape place.
Yeah.
I have a jet, a private jet, because I don't want to go to the airport.
Right.
I'm going to take my jet exactly. You know, Rickard says you have to have a bicycle. I said, I don't look good on a bicycle. So.
I know who to call when crisis hits.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand there, you know, get my COVID test before I climb on the plane as people are trying to escape the Titanic.
I have a vest.
So plan for the worst. Buy gold, silver, Bitcoin, you know. Be careful of this garbage.
Last thought, because whenever I have gurus like yourself on, Robert, I think it's always good to end on some sort of inspirational note. And you are one of the most influential money managers in the world. I was reading something of yours last night, and you said, you know, we often say, I can't afford that. Oh, I wish I could get that Lamborghini, but I can't afford it. You say change that mind frame, number one.
It's one of the saddest things I see is that in psychology, it's called an expeller. An expeller is like, you know, let's say I'm 400 pounds and somebody comes up to me and says, you know, Robert, you should go on a diet and exercise. I'll go, I know. Don't tell me that. I expel it. I want to deny the message. So what poor people do is expel wealth. They say, I'm not interested in money. You think, you know, the rich are greedy. Capitalists are sons of a bitch. That's an expeller. That is a poor person speaking. And every time I hear that, I go, this person doesn't have a prayer. That's like telling a fat guy eating a piece of pizza, I'd put that pizza down. Don't tell me that. I know that. The words are, I know. They already know because their being is a fat being or their being is a poor being. And the psychologist, that's the word. They'll just expel the thought.
Thank you for coming on and have an incredible summer. Come back soon.
Thank you. Same to you, Danielle. Thank you.
And thank you all for watching this incredible edition here on StansberryInvestor.com with Robert Kiyosaki. Always a pleasure having him on. In the meantime, remember to share us where you watch us. That's it for me. I'm Daniela Combone.